Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is our producer and Radio X CEO, Lee Cantor, in the booth there with all the dials. And my good buddy and co-host, Todd Schnick. Good morning, Todd.
Morning, Stone. How are you?
I am doing well, man, getting all geared up for Thanksgiving. I just got a hot tip from our producer, Lee, and Shawana out there at the reception desk about this Popeye's chicken thing. Have you ever heard of people doing the Popeye's chicken?
I've heard of Popeye's chicken, but what's the Thanksgiving thing?
Well, they do a turkey. Popeye's does a fried turkey that they freeze up for you, and I'm thinking about getting one on the way down to Pensacola.
No, I'll be darned. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either, but what would you say, Lee? Is like 30, 40 bucks, something like that?
It's $40, and it's Cajun, and it's delicious. We did it 1 year. Head to head, roasted regular, and we said, "Oh, let's just try this, something new." Everybody ate the Cajun. There was tons left over of the regular, and then that was 5 years ago.
Isn't that typical of our damn society that we even have to make it easy to get your damn turkey made for Thanksgiving?
I love it.
But I got to tell you,
have to cook it. You get that experience.
It's not coming all prepped. You have to actually.
It's prepped cooked, to cook. But you have to put it in the oven and roast it to get it to be, finally cooked.
But it's all doctored and ready to go. It's got easy instructions. You just throw it in the oven.
Just throw it in.
Doesn't that sound cool?
That is pretty cool.
Now, you're not going to travel this week, right? You're going to be right here?
I'm running a half marathon.
Jeez, this guy, he's running every weekend, it seems
like. I'm still trying to understand how stupid I was to make this decision. But I ran the last half marathon 8 days ago.
Now once a week you're running a half marathon?
Well, there are people I know that run a full marathon every day for like 6 months. But it's a charity thing. I don't know how the hell they do it. I'm still recovering from San Antonio. But, I'm looking forward to it. Ran 8 miles yesterday. I thought I was going to die. So, I mean, I...
8 miles. I couldn't drive a golf cart 8 miles. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, the half marathon in San Antonio was a great experience. It was a wonderful run. It was just one of those days when you just got lucky and you felt great and the weather was perfect and set a new record for myself, and always good stuff. I'm looking forward to this one. This will be a tougher course. This will be a lot more hilly than San Antonio was. So this will be a little bit more of a technical challenge, but I'm looking forward to it.
But you had a good outing in San Antonio. You knocked your time down, right?
Oh, yeah. Knocked down by 13 minutes, which is, there's plenty of professionals out there that mock that. But
they're done in 13 minutes.
They're done in 13 minutes, right.
The Barefoot Kenyans, they're done in 13 minutes.
Yeah. No, I got to tell you, I was at the San Antonio, there was the half and the full, and for some parts of the race, they were on concurrent tracks. And I got to tell you, we were still running our half marathon, which is 13.1 miles, and was on about mile 11, approaching mile 12, when the winners of the full marathon were passing us. So they were on that mile 24. So that just tells you how amazing some of these people are and what athletic talent.
Well, I keep threatening to do it, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to come out and watch you, and I'm going to bring the pom-poms and the whole bit and try to support you, because I think partners should support each other, right?
I agree. So, you keep talking about it.
I know. I keep threatening.
Well, this one's in town. No excuses here.
Except I won't be here.
Oh, there you have
it. But the next one, I'm serious. I'm going to take that obligation seriously and try to support you. We have a new sponsor this morning, and this is not just Stone shouting out to his peeps in a tree stand, because, everybody in my circle of friends is in a tree stand today. They're not at work. This is a legitimate sponsor because I got a break on the product over the weekend, and I promised to do this. I don't think the company really has a name, but I love their simplistic, minimalistic approach to marketing. The card says Firewood. And the principals of this organization are Richard, Scotty, and Cody. I found them in the parking lot at Publix, the Publix that you and I frequent. So I'm talking to these guys, and the loaded firewood that they had was already committed. I said, you know, I can't afford it. There's a lot of rich people out here, but I ain't one of them. But if you come back in a couple of days, I'll buy a load of firewood from you. And here's what I got to say about these guys. They did what they said they would do. They delivered on time. They brought good wood. It's burning great. And I got to tell you guys, it's going to get cool pretty soon. And if you want firewood, I think you ought to give Richard, Scotty, and Cody a call. The phone number for firewood is 770-735-4524. And they'll come to your house. They'll deliver it. They'll stack it. And it's good, solid wood that'll that'll give you home comfort for the entire winter.
Nothing wrong with good, solid wood.
Well, and you know, and I'm feeling more like Rush Limbaugh and Rhubarb Jones and those guys, because I'm getting legitimate sponsor compensation as a radio personality, because I got a nice break on this load of wood because I said I would talk about them on the radio.
I think you're more like Paul Harvey.
Good day.
Good day.
All right, so you want to do a show now? Or
yeah,
you just
I think we're ready to do the
chat
show.
Chat for a little while. All right, well, I am delighted to introduce to you, first up on the High Velocity Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the president of a promotional products outfit that we're going to learn more about. Her name is Felicia Hopkins. Welcome to the show, Felicia.
Good morning, guys. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I know for a while there you didn't think we were going to let you talk, did you?
I didn't think so.
She was actually hoping for that.
A little bit.
So what is the name of your company, and what do you do? I think all of us feel like we have a little bit of a feel for promotional products, but I bet we don't know as much as we think we do.
Probably. The name of my company is Innovative Specialty Gives, and what I do is I help companies, small, medium, and large, market and promote themselves with branded merchandise, apparel, company stores, thank you gifts for clients, and anything else that they want to put a logo on.
How the heck did you get into that racket?
It's been almost 11 years. I can't believe it. I was actually looking to get out of corporate America, believe it or not, about almost 11 years ago. And I'm a social butterfly, and I was researching, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And I came across the promotional products industry in a magazine, went to my first trade show in Chicago almost 10 years ago, and fell in love with the industry. I absolutely love it. I can't see myself doing anything else.
A trade show about promotional marketing.
Oh. Now, there must have been a lot of tchotchkes at that show.
There's probably a lot of stuff given out at a trade show for trade shows.
Oh,
for
my gosh.
Wow.
You are a kid in a candy store, and that's what I equate what I do to. You are literally a kid in a candy store. There are thousands of suppliers, thousands of products, seminars. I mean, you're a kid in a candy store.
Well, what you just said sparked a thought, and it's my one thought for the week, probably.
But you well, said be careful.
Thousands of products. So why do most companies seem to get the same damn things every time? It's always pens and stress balls and coffee mugs. Why aren't we using the other 997 products?
I think it's because those products have the most versatility. I think those are the most popular, of course, the pens. Everyone needs something to write with, a mug. Everyone needs something to drink out of. So those products typically are the products that are pushed more because they're the most popular. Now, there are lots of weird and quirky and things you've never seen that don't get pushed, but they're out there. But I think those products mostly get pushed because they are the norm.
Well, and I think I just answered my own question, that you're using that pen all the time. You're drinking mm-hmm. coffee from that mug all the time. So that product and that company that's represented on it is in front of you all the time.
It's branded all the time.
As opposed to something kind of weird and unusual that you probably don't keep on your desk.
True. That you see maybe once or twice a month or hardly ever because it gets shoved and put away somewhere.
So you said that you feel like a kid in a candy store. I do get the sense that you really do love your work. But why? I mean, is it because of the money? Is it because of all the money you made? What do you love so much about it?
Well, that's a factor. With the promotional products industry, you basically, the sky is the limit. You can make any amount of money that you want. Typical first-year sales is $500,000. So, cha-ching. There's companies out there making millions of dollars. But the sky is the limit if you're a creative person, if you like to talk to people, meet people, inspire people, all of those things you can do being a promotional products consultant.
My database has about 1,500 people on it, of which about 1,200 are promotional marketers. It's obviously a very competitive space. How do you compete and how do you differentiate yourself in that space?
Well, with the new economy, you know, back in the day, your phone would ring, people would call you. Now you really have to work hard at going out and seeking the business. A lot of companies have gone by the wayside, unfortunately, because a lot of companies, and this is one of the things that I don't particularly love about the industry, is a lot of companies are just product pushers, and that they just sell you a pen, they just sell you a mug, they just sell you a calendar, and they don't really have a vested interest in what your long-term marketing goals are. And I think those companies are the companies that are not surviving. Those are the companies that don't stand out. It's the companies that have a vested interest in their clients and their long-term marketing goals that are here to stay.
It almost seems to me there ought to be some sort of a secondary step to the process. Let me give you an example. We just did a trade show with a client, and the trade show was a wonderful success for them. Mm-hmm. And we were conducting our trade show radio, but they were giving out these bags. Mm-hmm. So ostensibly, you go to the show, you walk around, you collect brochures and probably tchotchkes and all kinds of cool stuff, and mm-hmm. you put it in these bags. And so the company, our client was giving these things out, mm-hmm. and I think he gave out, Stone, what, 400 or 500 of these bags?
In like a day and a half.
In like a day and a half. I mean, everybody was walking around carrying the bag of our client. And my, which is really cool, right? Because you mm-hmm. walk around the show and you have virtually everybody having this big red bag with our company's client's logo on it, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But what happens when they get home? I mean, does that bag get tossed? I mean, my worry was that was a neat investment for a day and a half. But one of the things I would like to think about is how do I help my client make leverage of that bag? I mean, can you put material in there? I mean, I don't know. I feel like there ought to be like a secondary step to that strategy.
Well, I think what a lot of companies are doing now is they aren't giving out trade show items like that. They are more targeted in that they are reaching their prospects before they actually come to the trade show with pre-show mailers.
There's an idea.
Yeah. So you get the people that are actually qualified to care about what your business is talking about at the trade show. I know you guys said you did a trade show and there weren't very many promotional items at all. And right. I think that's because a lot of companies are getting away from just, oh, let's just give everybody that comes to our booth a pen. Let's just give everybody that comes to our booth, whatever it is, a calendar, a keychain. I think they realize that you have to be more targeted now. And a lot of companies are doing pre-show targeting to get those qualified leads into the trade show. Because you're right, after the trade show, if the person that took that company's information home have absolutely no interest in what that company is selling, they will never buy from that company. Unfortunately, that's a wasted prospect. You want to give out promotional items to people that who are going to actually use your company, support your brand, and, you know, are people that your company can grow with.
So you send them a piece of mail maybe or an email and maybe even require them to take an action of some sort. Fill out this or complete this. And when we see you in New Orleans at the trade show, come by and get your camo hat.
Absolutely. And to touch on that, I just...
Todd doesn't think the camo hat's a good premium. It's hunting season, man.
That's funny. I actually just got a piece of mail I was talking to you earlier about from Express, and it had a QR code on it.
A who?
A QR code, which is those funky little codes that you can scan with your smartphone, and it can take you to a website.
See,
it can
that's what
download.
I
mean,
QR code. What's the Q
code
and the R stand for? Do we know?
Quick response.
Stone. It became the year 2000, about 11 years ago.
QR code.
Yes, and the funny thing now is that in the promotional products industry, we can put QR codes on T-shirts. And all of those good things on promotional products. So what you can do for a pre-show mailer is you can mail out these QR codes on T-shirts and promotional items and say, hey, come to our booth and we'll scan this QR code for you and we'll see if you win something.
Stone,
that way you're getting targeted people into your booth.
I'm sorry, Felicia. Oh, Stone, no, we saw two demonstrations of the QR codes in Orlando. All the name badges had the QR mm-hmm. code on there. So the clients would scan that code and their name, the data of that prospect would automatically be put into a database.
Oh, okay.
So that's one application of
all
it.
Right.
There were a few people, we interviewed probably about 30, 40 companies during that two-day show. And there were a couple of guys that were passing out the little square cards with the QR mm-hmm. code on it. And so people would walk around. They'd pass those around. People who had the application, that's the key, who has the technology to read it. And that's going to increasingly become...
So this is not the little red decoder out of the cereal box. You've got to have a cool phone or some gizmo to read it.
Yeah.
Yes. But what this one company did, Stone, that we interviewed, was that you would scan that QR code and it would say, thanks for your interest in X mm-hmm. company. Come by our booth and we'll give you a free X.
Yes. So you can make it say whatever you want. Like these shirts, you yes. could say, I'm with Stupid.
You can say that. You could say that. The beauty with QR codes is they can say whatever you want them to say. They can take people wherever you want them to take them. Websites, it can be downloads, it can be games, giveaways, sweepstakes. That's the beauty of QR codes. You are in total control.
See, I think, and you and I have had some preliminary conversation, mm-hmm. Felicia,
yes.
about how we use the modern world and all the applications in it as ways to then supplement and add some pop to your promotional marketing. Share with us some of the ideas you have on how to use Foursquare in that respect.
Yes, we were talking about Foursquare, and you were saying how you wish restaurants that use Foursquare would do a little bit more. And that's what I call social promos. I think the opportunity is phenomenal for restaurants to reward either their mayors or people just checking in several times a month with a limited travel mug or a T-shirt or something that's branded with that restaurant's name on it. We were talking about it's fine to comp a meal or to give a free drink with your meal, but after that, that's gone. When you give someone a branded item from your restaurant who they're already frequenting and they love, they're taking away something, you know, that they can show everyone else. They're branding your company when they're not there, your restaurant. And I just think restaurants can do a lot more with that. We were also talking about twit picking. You know, say Todd checked in to whatever restaurant four times this month. He's a mayor. And they have your picture with the limited edition travel mug. And they twit pick that out to everyone. I think that speaks volumes of that restaurant versus just constantly giving the comp and the free drink. And I think that gets old after a while.
Well, every restaurant, well, I shouldn't say that because not every restaurant is taking advantage of these tools. But those that are using Foursquare, most of them are just doing on your 10th check-in, you get a free meal.
Yes.
Which is fine.
Yes,
and I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That's kind of the modern way of the modern loyalty program. But I think I don't think you should stop doing that.
I think
you should integrate promotional marketing into that process.
Yes.
And occasionally, maybe on your 15th check-in or some sort of a strategy. I think that also does, since every restaurant is doing the free meal giveaway after X number of check-ins, giving out some sort of a promotional item, I think, adds to the word-of-mouth factor.
Absolutely.
It gives people something else to talk about.
Absolutely.
And that photograph, that twit pic that you reference, is just
another proof. Yeah, it's proof.
To talk about
I actually got something. They're not making this up. And it's like I said, it just builds on what Foursquare is already doing. It's rewarding you, but I think this is rewarding you. This is taking it a step further. And I just don't think, I haven't seen personally any companies doing anything with social promos, as I like to call it. It has been just the comp of the meal and the free drink. And I think the sky's the limit. I think Foursquare is growing. All check-in location-based, even Facebook. I mean, I think the opportunity is phenomenal.
So this, you're all over the social media thing, obviously.
Yes.
So when you sit down on a Monday mm-hmm. of a week, and do you just sit around and think, okay, what can I do really cool this week on social media? Or do you have it all mapped out? On Mondays, I do this. On Tuesdays, I do this. On Wednesdays, are you very strategic about it?
I do have it mapped out. Over the weekend, I'll say, okay, here are some of the cool products that I looked at over the weekend. I'll blog about this on Monday. I'll blog about this on Tuesday. That does change because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll get an idea, and I say, oh, okay, scrap that. Today I'm going to blog about this, or today I'm going to tweet about this.
Oh, you haven't talked about that yet. You're actually blogging.
I'm blogging, I'm tweeting, I'm LinkedIn, and I'm on Facebook.
I'm
a social goddess.
Talk to us a little bit about the blogging, because I don't know, it occurs to me that there's only so much to write about when mm-hmm. it comes to promotional products. Hey, you ought to do promotional products. Here's why. I mean, okay, that's
no,
one blog
Stone,
post.
No,
what are you going to do
no.
next week?
For me, it's not so much about, okay, here's this great pen that's on sale. Like, I take a totally different approach to blogging.
Huh.
My stuff is so creative, and if I can toot my own horn, it's a little boring to blog about a pen, a mug. I like to find stuff, and we talked about it, the poking.
That's not out there.
And that's what I pride myself in, is I find stuff that's not typically out there or that's brand new. And that's my weekly goal, is to find stuff whether it's in my industry publications, whether it's out and about, that people just don't typically see. And that's what I blog about. And the Poken, for example, your wife, yay, she used it at an IBM trade show.
Right.
And this is fairly new, and it's such a phenomenal tool for event planners and just people throwing events in general, is that you don't have to carry along a business card anymore. You give these out at trade shows, and people just touch the Poken, and all your information is magically transformed from one another to the Poken. And those are the things that I blog about. I don't like the same boring, mundane, oh, like I said, here's a pen, here's a mug. And that's really what I love to blog about, is all the different and unique things. So hopefully the people that read my blog, they feel that same way.
Well, how do you, let's talk about that. How do you get people to read your blog? So you're telling all this really valuable stuff, but I mean, I haven't read it yet. I will now because you've been
better.
On the show. Well, I will, but how do you get to people and get them to start reading your blog? And do you ask them to tell about their experiences? Do they talk back to you on your blog?
I do. I do get comments. What I do is when I blog, I post it on my Facebook and my Twitter every week. So, you know, my Twitter followers, ooh, I'm up to 400. Oh, my goodness. You know, they immediately, once I publish the blog, there is a link on my Twitter, and then I'll go to my Facebook. And it's my LinkedIn is all connected. So everything is all connected. So wherever you're following me or linking me in or Facebooking me, you have an insight to all of my information. I'm everything is connected.
Right.
So the minute I publish my blog, it's immediately on all of my social networks.
Well, you're a creative. I mean, so that's how you, that's how,
yes,
I would define
I am.
A promotional marketer, is that I go to you and say, hey, I have an event. I want to give something away, or I want to have some product that I distribute to everybody who comes, or the winners, or whatever you're going to set it up.
Yes.
So, Felicia, help me think through something creative and different and unique. And I want the answer by noon tomorrow. Probably what you get, you know. So, how do
yes.
you? I mean, how do you get your creative inspirations? Anybody in marketing has that problem, but how do you do it?
For me, I guess I need to know everything about what you're doing, who
I
you're trying to reach.
Say red wine.
Well, that works too.
Well, for me, it's Chardonnay, but
yeah. Sangria.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's for me. It's getting all the information that I need to get from you. Who are you trying to reach? What is your goal? Are you trying to build brand awareness? Are you trying to just give out a thank you? Are you trying to build sales? What's your budget? I mean, all of those things play a part in the products that you source and being successful with them. So the more information I have from you, the easier it is for me to find a great solution.
But there
for you.
Are people in her space, and I've met them, and they're very nice people, and I'm sure they work very hard. Mm-hmm. Their answer when you say, hey, I think I've got to get to do some promotional stuff, no problem, I'll bring you a catalog next week.
Yes.
And they hand you a big, fat catalog. Let me know when you're ready to order.
Yes.
And that's how they work the business.
That
and
is so
true. I guess
so
they could
true.
Pay the rent like that, but...
Unfortunately, there are lots and lots of companies and salespeople in the industry that do that. And I call those people product pushers because they don't have a clear understanding of what your goals are as far as your marketing. They don't know what you want. And they don't ask any questions. They just, here's a pen, I'll sell it to you. Here's a mug, I'll sell it to you. So those people aren't lasting very long today in this economy. So that's one thing that frustrates me about the industry, is the product pushers.
Has the economy affected the business?
Tremendously. I think every aspect of marketing has been affected by the economy. Now people are more price conscious, and people who, you know, imagine that people you've worked with long term are taking the prices that you give them and are sourcing it out on the internet, which, you know, I can't fault them at that. I get 3 quotes for everything that I do myself, but people are very price conscious. They're very smart. They're very savvy, and they are pricing you out. It's unfortunate. It's even long-term clients, but I mean, it's kind of where the economy is taking
us.
Where
I think you're going to separate yourself is that you're going to not only sell them something that they want in terms of an actual promotional item,
yes.
But you're going to hopefully provide some sort of a creative way to integrate that in with, say, a social media or a QR code or a Foursquare.
Yes.
That's the real value.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, I mean, I know me personally, I would pay a little bit of a premium if I just know I can hand it off to Felicia and I'm done with it.
Yes.
And if I know, if I go to Felicia and say, look, I don't know. I don't know if I want a coffee mug, a USB drive, a T-shirt, a hat, or what. But I've got people coming into the studio. Mm-hmm. I want them to have a good experience. I want them to remember our show and or Radio X when they leave. And so, I don't know, help me think this through. I want somebody that's going to have that conversation with me and 3 months from now say, okay, that worked great, but let's what else can we do?
Absolutely.
I want that, and I'm willing to pay a little bit of a premium for that.
Absolutely. And like we were talking about earlier, Stone, is you have people who just want to go to the internet and order. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to see you. They don't care. They just want to go place a product order and be done with it. And you have some people that are not as internet savvy and are not as comfortable placing orders over the internet, and they want that face-to-face interaction. And I'm such a people person. I love meeting people. I love coming to your office and talking to you, you know. Or if you don't want to see me, that's fine too, you know.
You'll work either way.
I'll work either way.
The hours of 10 and 2, we talk.
Exactly, because I don't do like Atlanta traffic. No, I don't do Atlanta traffic.
Well, I suppose that if I really wanted to, I could go to the internet myself and get some of this stuff.
You could.
But what I think the value that you and others in your space bring is the added sense of creativity to help them think through an actual campaign.
Absolutely.
Strategy and some things to integrate with that coffee mug or what have you.
Internet is not going to say, hey, you're ordering this, but did you think about this? Did you think about that? You know, you're not going to get that from the internet. Whereas if you're speaking one-on-one with a promotional products consultant, you get that interaction and you get that, you know, what about option A? What about option B? Did you think about this? Did you think about that? What about this add-on? You know, so my goal is to, you know, come up with an entire solution for you and not piece by piece. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Absolute delight having you on the show today. A couple of things we want to do before we let you go. One, we want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to contact you?
Email. I love email. Telephone number as well. My number is 678-768-0396, or you can reach me at Felicia@exposeyourbrand.com.
Hey, Felicia, I suspect the holidays are a very busy time for you.
Yes.
I assume it's not too late for companies to reach out to you and get something cool for the holiday season?
No, absolutely not.
All right, good.
Please reach out to me. I want to help you with your holiday gift giving.
So, you know what? We didn't talk about that. We've got a little bit of time. Let me ask you a little bit about that. So from the corporate gift giving kind of thing, what are some ideas that you're using this year that you think have some real pop?
Well, you know, I'll go back to the old food gifts are always very popular because they feed an entire office. So food gifts will always be extremely and will be the number one promotional item for the holidays. Another aspect that I have is I personalize a lot of things. So if you're giving gifts to specific clients, you can actually personalize that mug with their name on it. You can actually personalize a picture frame for them. So that's taken a step further. So if anybody wants to stand out a little bit further with the personalization aspect, I can do that. Personalization is huge. Everyone loves to see their name. They love to see their monograms or their initials. So that's something that I'm also getting more into is the personalization aspect of holiday gift giving.
Well, see, that's an interesting point because particularly I'm thinking more high-end premium fee services. They're probably less excited about getting something with Stone's logo on it than they are a thank you gift or thinking about you gift that's a little more whatever they're into, whether it's their logo, their name, their hobby.
Yes.
I
thought you were going to send them a personalized can of grits or something.
You know, one of my best, fondest friends in the entire world, and I just think the world of her, and it is my favorite gift ever, 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 and she gave me a packet of grits. Amy Otto gave me grits when she found out how much I like grits.
See?
That's the kind of person she is. See, because for Amy, it's not about Amy. Mm-hmm. She's invested in other people.
Yeah, and you can do that with personalized holiday gifts. We can do that. It doesn't have to have your logo on it. It can have the recipient's name.
That's an interesting perspective, though.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Listen, before we do let you go, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and really more importantly, probably what they feel like they learned from it. Can we get you to do that for us?
I don't make mistakes. I'm perfect.
Oh, okay. Well, we're done then.
First guest.
That's the first one ever. Usually they ask for more time.
No, I will share a story with you. When I first started out, I had a really large order, and I was so afraid to ask for the money up front, which is the norm now. You get a deposit or you get the entire amount paid in full. Uh-huh. And it was such a large order. I didn't want to ask the client, imagine that, for any money. Like, wow. And so I just assumed my supplier would give me terms. Mm-hmm. And when I went to my supplier with the order, they're like, no, you need money. And I'm like, I don't have money. I didn't ask for it from the client yet. So I had to go back to the client. They're thinking their order is shipping. And ooh, yeah, ouch. It was not a good situation. So I said, I'm going to actually need some money first. Long story short, it caused a lot of chaos, but they had no problem paying me up front. It's just that I didn't ask. And, you know, if you don't ask, you don't receive. So before you take on a large order, have your I's dotted and your T's crossed and make sure that you could actually produce the order or get the money up front for your client. So I've never done that since then.
Well, good for you. Sounds like you learned from it.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, if asking for the money is going to jeopardize the relationship or the deal, there you'd find another way to screw up that deal,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, the money's part of the transaction.
Absolutely.
It's part of the exchange.
I mean, that we're in business to make money, and if any company out there doesn't understand that, if this is the first time you're working with them that you need at least half down or the payment in full, then they're living right under a rock.
Hey, Todd doesn't play. He gets 100%
that's
up front.
Right. That's
he doesn't even do that whole 50%
that's
thing.
That's my dude.
Then I decide if I'm actually going to fulfill it.
Yeah, at which point he looks at things.
I like that. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You are so welcome. I had an awesome time.
Yeah, we had a good time, too, and I can't wait to get some genuine professional advice on promotional stuff that we ought to be doing for High
well,
Velocity.
Well, we, honest to goodness, really do need to think through, Stone, I'm being serious here, not just because we have Felicia here, but we ought to think through a cool strategy with some stuff to do with post-show experience. So we really ought to actually talk about that, Felicia.
Yes, we should. We will.
Well, I'm like those USB drivey thingies or those jack
tokens and the QR codes.
See there? She's just a wealth of information.
We can do all that stuff.
Well, we're going to have you back on the show, too. Maybe every so often you can give us a little bit of a report. And
absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe we'll try to hijack part of your blog, do like a weekly column for the High Velocity blog or something.
Yes, I would love to.
A monthly column.
I would love to. I'm excited. Yes.
All right. Terrific.
Yes, tall.
Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, Felicia Hopkins, our producer Lee Cantor, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.